for our mothers. Happy Mother's Day to our mothers. That's really great. Okay. Are we ready? 3 hours, okay. Jay, you can start the clock. A little boy, 3-year-old boy, used to pray all the time. Suddenly, he stopped praying. Hadn't been praying at night for several nights. Just families waiting for him to... They didn't want to push him, but they wanted him just to, by his own volunteer, to pray when he felt called to pray. And for a 3-year-old, one night went by, another night, nothing. He didn't pray, didn't say anything. Finally, he made the big announcement, and he said, "Tonight, I'm going to pray. Won't God be surprised?" Are we surprised when God speaks to us? Are we listening when God speaks to us? You know, last Sunday morning, I pulled out of my driveway to head to church, and at the same time, my neighbor pulled out and just drove in front of me. I knew that my neighbor was not going to church. She doesn't go. And it seemed like God gave me that nudge. He kind of spoke to me and said, "Non-churched, what are you doing about it?" You know, we recognize that there are many people today that are spiritually anemic in their faith. Their systems are spiritually anemic. And we need to do something about that, don't we? All of us do, every Christian. Now, they say the blood is, well, probably is the most important for our bodies, isn't it? We need to have blood. We need that. I mean, that is so important. What it does, it provides the essential fluids that flow through our body, and you know, it provides oxygen to the cell, to our bodies. It also helps with the waste to protect us from our lungs and hearts from waste products. And you can go on and on and on. Blood also helps us fight off infections. Infections. So let's put this together. We have blood so important to us for our physical bodies, for life. But what is more important to us in our spiritual lives is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we so desperately need, is the blood of Jesus Christ, not only in us as Christians, but people that don't know Christ. They're in desperate need for a, you know, blood of Jesus transfusion. We need that. So this morning I want to talk about the blood of Jesus, my first thought this morning. And I want us to look at 1 John 1, verses 5 and 7. Usually what happens, my family's here, and as you're going to share with you, it usually gets better. As we go along, we start building momentum. I hope. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light." John always used the contrast between light and darkness. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. When we experience a fresh transfusion of Jesus' blood, then we become alive, we become energized. Is that right? When you are in Christ, when you're feeling good about your faith, God is good, he's at the center, and things are happening in your life spiritually, then you're kind of energized, right? There's a sense of joy. You see, true cleansing from sin comes when Christ shed blood takes out all the impurities, all the waste products in the body, from the heart. So that's why this is so important, that we, And I don't know about you, but when Christ is really in me, I really feel focused on God and things are going well. I sense his presence and his power. I always feel alive. I always feel energized. However, when that doesn't happen in my life, when I'm in that dry period spiritually, then I'm lethargic. I'm just down. It just isn't there. So we know that when we have a blood transfusion, when these, it just energizes your body. That's supposed to be what happens when you are in Christ Jesus. When the Jesus blood flows through you, hopefully one is energized spiritually. Amen? Divine DNA. I want you to listen to this scripture because for me, we discover the heart of Jesus. If you're looking for the heart of Jesus, start with John 17, 20 through 23. And here, Jesus is praying, and he's having an intimate conversation with God the Father. And he's praying to God the Father because he's praying for us. He's praying for all his children, not only the disciples, but he's praying for us, you know, 2,000 years later. So this prayer, Jesus is praying to God for us today. It's a fantastic scripture. Jesus said, "My prayer is not for them alone." Again, he's referring to the disciples at that time. "I pray also for those who believe in me, though through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that though they may be brought to complete unity, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Jesus' great desire for us, his disciples in the church, is to be in oneness, in unity with him through the love of the Father. That's it. That's what he wants. All surrounded by the love of God in us. So Jesus, I want us to be one. We're one family. Josh, we're one. One with God. One with Jesus. One with each other. That's the unity that Jesus was talking about. The Bible tells us that God created us in his very image. If you read Genesis 1. That's interesting. I thought about that, and I have all my grandkids here today, and I remember, oh, they're growing up so fast. It's amazing. But I can remember when they were just the little itty-bitty ones, you know, and it started with Brit and so forth. And I'd get together with them, and I was kind of like, well, their playmate. And we'd do all sorts of things. And I can remember doing crafts. I remember sitting at the table, and we'd be coloring. You know, how you swap, you know, hey, you have blue, I need the blue. Okay, I'll take the brown, whatever. And you're coloring with your kids or whatever. And as they're coloring, and when they're finished, they're so proud of their work of art. You know, they show you, they say, here, look at this. You know, and maybe they're coloring outside of the lines a little bit. And they go, hey, that's beautiful. It looks so great. And they're so proud. God is proud of his greatest creation. That is us. He created us to have fellowship with us. God, so that we could have fellowship with others. God created us with great care, so that we could care for others. God created us for a purpose. Each one of us, we have a purpose. a purpose. You get that? So that we can share that purpose with others. God created us out of his great love so that we could love others. You know? And listen to this. Jesus' love gives us the capacity to love others with a deeper love. You know, when you stop and think about your life, you know, before Christ and after Christ, you might love others before Christ with a wonderful love, but once Jesus Christ is in your heart, you'll love that person with even a greater, a deeper love. You know, what that means, it means that you might have to make that extra phone call. Maybe you need to give someone a word of encouragement. Maybe you're down, but you know someone else, a brother, sister's down or whatever, and you give that person a word of encouragement. Where are you going, Jake? Come back. I'm not done yet. That's okay. Word of encouragement. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's that moment when maybe you don't have the time. Maybe the time isn't there for you. And yet you know somebody's hurting. You know, maybe it's if you're good with your hands and you're good doing woodwork, whatever it is, maybe a neighbor needs some help and you're right there to help that neighbor. It is going that second mile. That is Christ-like love. Amen? DNA. DNA is a genetic code or a blueprint, if you will, that helps determine us, what we look like, you know, our personality traits. It's all mixed up in there. Then, you know, we all have different unique DNAs, don't we? God has planted his DNA in us so that we can be transformed into his image. That's what he has done. Now, I want to continue with that. And this is like a science lesson here. I want to talk about number three is divine infusion. What that means is that when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we experience his DNA. We are infused with his DNA. How does that happen? When that happens, we become one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go back to that scripture. Jesus trying to bring us into God the Father, that we have God, we have Jesus, we have us. That you love them. Jesus said, I died for them so that they might be one in us. That's his DNA. That's it. That is so important for us to see. That when I think of that, I think of the fact that we have this identity with God. And I look out and I see my family and I see we're a combination here, right? I can just go by my family to the right in front of me. I have my wife, and then through some miracles, we had children. And through other miracles, they got married and with their spouse and they had children. But the amazing thing about all this is, we know where I'm going. It's all the same DNA. I mean, there's all the DNAs in here. We're all kind of mixed together, aren't we? I mean, very good. You know, and we're all, you know, we're all part of it. And they have some of my DNA in them, right? And I look at my, you know, John's parents, Scott's parents, the same thing. It's all mixed in there. It's all part of it, of the deal. That's a wonderful thing when you stop and think about it, that we have divine DNA in us, that God in Christ died for us. So he adopted us, made us his children. We are part of him in that sense, but we are not Jesus. We know that. No matter how hard we try or how strong our faith is, we will never be Jesus. There's only one Jesus. But listen to this. The longer we learn, the more we learn, the more we study and the more we follow Jesus, we become more like him. We take on his character. Isn't it wonderful to see and wonderful to know that? That's a wonderful thing, that we are special. We are special in the eyes of God. We are special. No matter what anybody says to you, no matter how many hits you take in your daily life, you are special to Jesus. He died for you. He poured his blood into your veins. His blood is in you. That life-giving blood is in you. Forever and ever and ever and ever. That is your inheritance. That is your eternal inheritance. You know, we can give our families, we can save and work hard, which is a good thing to do. And you work hard for your family because you might want to leave with them a legacy of some sort. When you pass on, something you might leave for them. But that's all temporal. It doesn't last. It just doesn't. My neighbor George, a wealthy farmer, and what he did, I used to sit on the porch with George before he died, and the old sage would tell me all sorts of stories. He had one story after another, I just listened to him. But he was a very successful farmer, had a few farms, and so he talked to me about what he was going to do with his farms. I just listened. I wasn't going to get into his stuff, but he just talked. He had it all figured out. He said, I'm going to give my children their inheritance before I die because I want to see them enjoy it. So that's what he did. He just divided the estate up three ways, three children, so they could enjoy it. George passed away. He couldn't take it with him. You know, he couldn't take that to heaven. And his children one day, when they pass away, they can't take it with them either. What we take with us is our eternal inheritance with Jesus. That's what is lasting. That's why we rejoice. That's why we're energized. That's why we're excited, because Jesus lives forever as we one day will live forever. Amen? That is a wonderful thing when you stop and think about it. Are we in number four? Let's go number four. You know, we are family. And here I'm going to look at when God spoke to Jeremiah from Jeremiah 33, 2 and 3. Listen to his words. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. And here it comes. He said, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Remember, for some of you, you're right there. Your kids, they ask questions, don't they? My kids, I look and see, you know, and Diane, Connie too, but Diane just had one question after another. You know, when she's growing up, you know, we know that's part of when kids grow up. Last Sunday, just before I left the church here, I'm back there sitting in that chair, and then Anaya, while I was sitting at first, Anaya come up to me, and for those of you who don't know, she's one of our little ones here in our church, and she said, Pastor Denny, could you pray for my finger? She said she had a little, her finger hurt. So, of course, I mean, how can you not? You know, and so I sat down in the chair. I took her hand. I put my finger in her little finger. I started praying for her little finger. Well, that led to a lot of questions. That led to, all of a sudden, when I'm praying, she looked at my ring, and she was really fascinated by my ring. So I was telling her all about the little symbols on my ring. It's a seminary ring. And they enjoyed that. Then Levi, her son, comes into the conversation with his wives and his questions, and suddenly there's my watch. And so they're looking at my watch and asking about this and asking about that, asking so many questions. It was great. But we know that I'm sure at mom and dad or whatever, when my kids were growing up, they'd ask all these questions, sometimes after a period of time, why this? Why are you mowing along today? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? You kind of get sometimes a little bit tired responding to their answers. Say, okay, enough of the questions. Enough of the questions. But you see, God is never, ever, ever quiet. God is always there, ready to answer all of our questions. No matter how small they might seem, you might ask God a question. There might be something on your mind or your mind that you're really hurting and you're concerned about something. And for me, it might not be insignificant to someone else. But to God, it is so, so important. He wants to hear your questions. He wants to talk to you. Amen? So God said to Jeremiah, call. When we call to God, he will reveal more truths, more insights than we could ever imagine. That's our God. So why do we hold back? That God isn't interested in this question I have? God is not interested in this concern that I might have? Yes, he is. He wants to know. That's a loving, powerful, mighty God. We're almost done. Do I hear an amen? And number five, and we're going to be on this one for a little bit, and that is, God has something to say to us. God has something to say to us. Jesus has something to say to us. Jesus has something to say to you. Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus said, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. How many of you ever experienced someone who just talks all the time? Or they seem to know, boy, Kathy didn't hesitate. She put her hand right up on that one. Or people that any topic you will talk about, they are experts. And they seem to know a lot about everything. Now, I work out 5 days a week. And this is a bad witness. I'm a bad witness here because when I go into workout and when I go into that why, when I go into the why, I don't necessarily want to talk to anybody. I mean, I don't. I go in, I have my gear, I find my machine that I'm going to work on, and I might say, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. But don't talk to me. A good morning's enough. A good morning. Well, Tom, bless his heart, I've seen this guy up there for 8-9 years. And Tom knows everything. Tom could bump into the tree or the chair, and he's having conversation with the chair. And any subject that you have, Tom is right there. And he's nonstop. He's nonstop. So when I see Tom, you know, this isn't right. I know that. I try to avoid Tom. You talk to Tom. I don't want to talk to Tom. Because I know if I start talking to Tom, I'll never get my workout in. Or if I'm trying to leave, I'll never get out of this place. You know, a little bit of exaggeration, but a lot of it is truth. You know, the other day, Tom called me about the weather. I just finished. I wiped off my machine, ready to get my gear and leave. And Tom said, hey, some weather we're having here. I knew I was in trouble. Because I hesitated, I stopped, because Tom wanted to go somewhere with the weather. See what I'm saying? You have some people that that's just the way it is. You know, at least me, I ask the Lord to forgive me. But, you know, when I talk with Tom, one last thing about Tom, then I'm done with Tom. So what I've learned to do with Tom, I've mastered the art of retreat. So Tom is talking, and I'm going like this. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, the weather's really bad today. I'm getting closer. I know I'm almost escaping. But I'm not rude. I don't just walk out. Then Tom kind of gets the idea that I've got to leave, And then he stops and I say, see you later. You don't know where I'm going with this, do you? All right. Neither do I. My point is this, that God is never quiet. And what he has to share with us is always worthwhile. It's more than just the weather. You know, it's more than politics. For he knows what's good for us. But let me just say this, that what God speaks is never, in my belief, is never contrary to the counsel of his word. It always coincide with his word. Always. If it doesn't, then you got to check it out. Then you have to pause and see where this really is coming from. It's really true. Now, when I said God has something to say to us, he does. He speaks to us. And that's always a big debate. I have a different people debate, well, what does his voice sound like? Is it a booming voice? Is it a quiet voice? Well, sometimes God speaks audibly, doesn't he? Sometimes he does. God speaks in a variety of ways to get our attention. If we're listening, he speaks to us. What's the date today? Okay, it was the 13th. All right. A couple nights ago, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And as I stumbled back into my bed, as I put my head on the pillow, I got something very disturbing happened. And God gave me a burden for this church. And that burden was so deep, I've never experienced a burden like that for this church. Then I got distraught. I'm saying, God, what's going on? What is it? You know? And we're struggling. And we know that any small church is a struggling church. And God just laid that burden on me and on me. And I was wondering, as I'm thinking in my heart of hearts, God, are you trying to test me to see if I'm going to be obedient to you? Are you testing me? And so I prayed, and I prayed. I said, God, speak to me. What is it that you want? What about this church? And then I said, yes, God, I am burdened. I am. You know my heart. You know what I'm thinking. And then he said, get up. Write this down. Write this down. So there I am. I get up, leave my bedroom, stumble around trying to find my glasses, put them on my head, and he said, write this down. I'm going to read this to you because it applies to us in this church and others, that because God does speak to us in a variety of ways. And he spoke. And I have in my hand a journal. I do not journal. I repeat, I do not. My wife does, I do not. But God said, get up, write. So I'm going to read to you what God shared with me. They even put a date on it, the 10th. He said, now this comes from God. Then the question is going to be, do we believe it? That's always the question. So I'm going to leave that up to you. That's going to be your faith. Is this really true? Is it coming from God or not? Family life. Breakthrough is coming. It's coming soon. Trust twice. In the impossible. It is coming. My will The Lord's will says so. Your confirmation will be obvious. Trust this transformation. Trust this transformation is here. Step out in faith, believe, and be watchful. And when God does speak to me, He always ends it with a scripture to confirm what was said. He gave me Mark 23, that all things are possible if one believes. Jesus is asking. Jesus said, ask. Jesus said, seek. Jesus said, knock. And you will hear and recognize His voice. You see, the more you understand where I'm going with this, you will recognize His voice. He will do something spectacular in you, because that's what God does. You will recognize His voice. An amen. You will recognize it. It could be. It could be a thought. It could be, but confirm it with the word. That is important. You with me? Confirm it with the word. You know, we're closing down. But God loves us so much. He loves us so much. And opens that door. He opened that door of intimacy and fellowship because He wants the best for His kids. We are His kids. He wants the best. You want the best for your children? Well, guess what? God loves your children more than you could possibly love them. He wants what's best for them. God wants what's best for us. Sometimes that's very hard for us to see or believe, but God wants the best for each and every one of us. Now, here it comes. I want you to really pray and think about this, church, because to me, it speaks to, for me at least, why sometimes we become dry in the faith, or we feel that God isn't there, He's not answering questions, or whatever the case might be. Friends, the one who is missing something in the faith, is one who is missing something from the altar. You catch that? By refusing to surrender, whatever it is, to Jesus Christ. All of us have baggage. All of us have things in our lives that we probably want to clean up a little bit. And God wants the baggage. He wants everything in your closet. He wants to clean it up. I don't know. Maybe today, is there something that you're holding on to? Something that you want and don't want to give up? Something that is holding you back? Something, it could be a job, it could be a health concern, it could be a relationship, it could be a fear of whatever it might be. Something that might be holding you back. God wants it, because that one thing can prevent you from totally experiencing the grace and power of Jesus Christ in your life. You know what I'm saying? You know, when we go to the altar, God says, give it all to me. When you go to the altar, when you come to Him, He said, give it all to me. No matter what it is, where you are, give it to me. Give it to me. When you do, could you play 10? When you do, you'll be set free. I do not believe in my heart of hearts there's one person